This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Rami Metcalf on 670 The Score.
27 games.
Deep drive to right field. Back goes Benson. At the wall, that ball is going to be gone for a home run. I had to wait. Benson leaped, and it's a home run for Reese McGuire. Welcome to the Chicago Cubs, Reese McGuire.
Just trying to get...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Something in the middle of the zone because I just chased a slider and I knew I kind of looked foolish on it. So I was like, all right, like got to settle down and just, you know, slow down the moment. And then just blacked out and it was cool.
And the pitch. McGuire swings, drills one deep down the right field line. This will leave the yard. Another home run for Reese McGuire. His second of the game.
You're getting a little emotional. What brings that out?
Yeah, worked really hard to get back here and thankful for the opportunity.
Rami Metcalf.
And baseball is just weird.
On 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It is. Baseball is weird. And I'm still sitting here going, who? What? Who McGuire? Which McGuire did that yesterday? I am Rami Metcalf. I'm with you for the next, just short of 3 hours, taking you right up to more Cubs baseball as they take on the Rockies. 121st pitch, 12:45 pregame. I am live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, with Tyler Buterbaugh on the other side of the glass. Alex Cohen, Cubs play-by-play announcer for the Marquee Sports Network. He'll be here at 11 o'clock to talk some Cubs. At 12 o'clock, too many people are talking about Caleb Williams, and I don't like it. And in a weird way, he and his dad have sort of brought it upon himself. And I have plenty of time. Like I said, Alex Cohen, my only guest for the next 2+ hours. So plenty of time for you to get in at 312-644-6767. If you want to give me a call or shoot me a text, again, those numbers, 312-644-6767. And man, this Cubs team just keeps finding ways to win. Are they this good or are they that lucky? 312-644-6767. Trailed 8-3 heading into the seventh inning yesterday, and a couple of rallies in both the seventh and eighth inning. They come back for their second come from behind victory in their last three games. And you heard it in the open there, well put together by my guy Tyler on the other side of the glass. Reese McGuire, he got called up earlier in the day with the news that Miguel Amaya had a strained oblique, and he's supposed to go in for imaging today, I think they said, and we'll have more of a timetable, or Tuesday, excuse me. Thank you, Tyler, for correcting me on that. And we'll have more of an idea and a timetable of when he might be back behind the plate for the Cubs. I think the best offensive catcher duo in the league right now that the Cubs are rocking. But Miguel Amaya goes down with the oblique, and McGuire gets called up, and then he finds out he's starting. He finds out that he's starting the game as the Cubs needed an emergency catcher, and he goes out and hits the two home runs, including the home run to tie the game there in the eighth inning. He's the third player. This is indicative of how this Cubs season has gone this year. I keep finding stats that are like, this has never been done or rarely been done before by the Cubs or anybody else for that matter. He's only the third player in the modern era to hit two homers in his Cubs debut, joining Jim Marshall and Earl Webb in 1958 and 1927, respectively, that's how rare a guy doing what Reese McGuire did yesterday is in Major League Baseball. And then later in the game, you had Drew Pomeranz go out there and pitch another scoreless inning. He extends his scoreless streak to 13 straight outings now. He's yet to allow a run with the Cubs. And before this season, before his comeback season with the Cubs, hadn't pitched in the majors since 2021. And that's part of a bigger sort of picture for this Cubs bullpen. And I'm asking you, as the Cubs keep finding ways to win, are they this good or that lucky? This bullpen entered Saturday, so before yesterday's game, with the lowest ERA in the National League over the last week and a half at 1.54, putting together scoreless performances in five of their eight games. Now again, that was going into Saturday. That doesn't even include yesterday's game. So they were scoreless in five of eight games over that span, and that's despite your closer in Presley blowing up on you. That's despite Merriweather, who you were counting on to be sort of a high-leverage guy for you this year, blowing up on you, and he was DFA'd a couple days ago. And your second option at closer in Porter Hodge getting injured, also with the oblique thing that seems to be going around that Cubs locker room is oblique strains. All three of those guys you expected to play major roles in your bullpen this year, either getting injured or just blowing up and not living up to the expectations that you had for them when you brought them in or as you brought them up through your system. All of these things, Reese McGuire doing something that only two other players have done in the modern era for the Cubs, Drew Pomeranz reviving his career after 4 years away from the sport, this bullpen doing what it's doing despite three of its major contributors, or who you hoped would be major contributors, blowing up in your face or getting injured. Whatever it is that the Cubs are dealing with, they just find ways to win like they did yesterday. And it's not just coming back during a game when they get down big, and man, have they done that. I think they're up to, I think the number is 13 or 14 come from behind victories for the Cubs so far this year. It was 11, and they've had a couple, 11 the last time I hosted on The Score, and I know they've had a couple since, but it's not just coming back within a game when they get down. It's coming back from a game and from a tough loss. And go back to the previous series prior to the game that they played yesterday and finishing off taking two of three from the Reds. the way they started that Marlins series of another blown lead in the ninth inning for a bullpen that, like I said, they've straightened things out and sort of steadied the ship in the bullpen, but they keep having to steady the ship because things keep happening, whether it's injuries or guys blowing up. They blow a ninth inning lead in heartbreaking fashion in the opener of that Marlins series and come back and win both of the next two games, including one in come from behind fashion. The resilience of this team is really, I think, their strongest trait, and what makes me most confident that they really are this good, that they really are a team that's 11 games over 500 and with a handy lead in the NL Central right now. That's one of the things that does make me feel like, oh, okay, this is real. This is something that's real with this baseball team. But then there are other things that I look at and go, how are they doing this, and when does the other shoe drop? And I'll start with the most evident one and the guy who we're all most excited about right now and most in love with in the Chicago sports stratosphere, and that is PCA. And I am loving watching this dude play baseball. Not just because he's helping the Cubs win. He plays one of the most entertaining brands of baseball that you're going to find in the game today, with the power and the speed and the stolen bases and going first to third, if not first to home, always getting that extra base. He's as exciting a ball player as there is to watch in Major League Baseball right now. And I said it when I was on the air here about, 10 days ago. He's a legit MVP candidate at this point. And you can go to almost any stat or category that you want, except maybe batting average, if you're still counting that. If you're still stuck in the 1900s and you're putting batting average up at the top of your statistics that you're putting a lot of weight in, he's at or near the top of every statistical category, especially when you start looking over the defensive metrics and what he's done for you there in terms of keeping runs off the board. But there is a part of me, and I don't call me the wet blanket if you want, if you're not having this same thought, there is a part of me that watches Pete Crow Armstrong and especially the power aspect of his game and go, how real is this? Look, man, it's his second year in the league. I think it's fair to ask that, especially, like I said, with the power aspect of the game. I do go, how much of this is real? How much of this is sustainable and something that we can count on for the long haul, for the rest of this season and beyond? I do look at the bullpen doing what they're doing with sort of the roller coaster ride that has been, where they'll blow a ninth inning or an eighth inning lead, and then over the next week or week and a half, like the stretch that they're in now, they look as lights out and locked down as anybody out there. And that's the nature of bullpens, both in small windows and big windows. Whether you're talking small sample size or big sample size, bullpens are volatile, and their performances do sort of go to both ends of the spectrum, the good and the bad. You see that in even the best bullpens, but when you have as many things going wrong with as many of the high leverage arms that you were counting on as the Cubs have, again, with Presley and Merriweather and Hodge, two of those guys just on performance, one of those guys because of an injury. When you have that many things going wrong in a bullpen, I do wonder, like, how long can they sustain this? How long can they keep bouncing back from these injuries and these guys that are not living up to expectations? How many new arms can they find, like a Drew Pomeranz, who hasn't pitched in the league for 4 years, coming out and doing what he's doing? How many times can they pull off this magic trick? And the thing that really makes me wonder how real all this is, and as I ask you, as the Cubs keep finding ways to win, are they this good or are they that lucky? 312-644-6767. And don't get me wrong, I'm enjoying this. I really am enjoying this. And I'm not saying any of this isn't real or any of this isn't sustainable. Just I have questions as a season goes along. As there's a 162 game season and the Cubs keep pulling the rabbit out of the hat here through the first, I don't know, what have they played, 50 games or so? Let me just double check that. 32. 53 games so far as I do math on the air. I do wonder, like, okay, this is cool, this is fun, I'm enjoying it, but how much of this can they sustain and keep on doing? And maybe the greatest magic act that they're pulling off right now, and the thing that I have the most questions about, is the starting pitching, man. To lose your number one and number two starter, and just like I said with Amaya, we should have more of a timetable with Shota here in the next couple of days as to when he'll return from the hamstring injury. But when you lose your one and two pitcher, and let's be real, I don't know that you can necessarily call either of those guys a bona fide ace. Both Justin Steele and Shota maybe on their way to earning that tag or that label with the starts of their careers that they've had, with Shota in the Rookie of the Year running last year. Justin Steele, I believe, was a runner-up for the Cy Young Award a couple of years ago. But neither is a bona fide ace in this league, and we can play semantics and what that actually means. But when you're talking about two guys of that status, of that level, being at the top of your rotation, being the two best pitchers that you have, and then you lose them both to injury, one of them for the season, and the other one, it looks like, for at least a significant period of time, when we're talking about Shota, how long can they keep pitching like this and keep runs off the board? That's one of the things that I do wonder, and there will probably be arms added to the bullpen and the starting rotation between now and the trade deadline. I heard Jed Hoyer last week here on The Score, your home for Cubs baseball, say that we're probably about a month away from any real major or big moves. I expect moves to be made to sort of bolster the pitching staff, but I do wonder between the injuries to the starting rotation and between the injuries and guys just blowing up in that bullpen, how long can you sustain this, and how real is that success from a pitching standpoint? The thing that I feel really good about, and the thing that I think is legit and is not going anywhere anytime soon, is that offense, which, like I said about PCA, look at the top of any offensive category, including runs scored, and the Cubs have been at or near the top all season long. It's not just a hot stretch that's put them there. They've been at or near the top of runs scored in most major offensive categories all season long. And I think that is because of the emergence of young guys like PCA and Miguel Amaya before the injury. We've seen Matt Shaw sort of step up his game since he got recalled from AAA, but I go back to a lot of this being the Kyle Tucker effect. And look, man, Ian Happ and Seiya and Dansby and Nico, all guys who in their own right had accomplished some things offensively at the major league level before before Kyle Tucker came here. But having a guy like that in the middle of your lineup has greatly benefited all those guys that I just talked about. And the younger guys in PCA and Miguel Amaya and Matt Shaw. The impact of a Kyle Tucker is, and I know a lot of people want to downplay or dismiss the impact of a very good hitter in a lineup, the ripple effect of that, how it affects the batters before and after him. I think it's immeasurable. When you look at the season, especially Seiya, man, because he's always either right behind or right in front of Kyle Tucker in that batting order, which means either the pitcher is looking at the on-deck circle and going, okay, what should I do now to minimize the damage that guy can do when he gets up here? Or it's because Kyle Tucker already did something before Seiya got up to bat, and he's now on base starting or extending a rally. He changes the way that teams are attacking a Seiya Suzuki, the way that teams are attacking an Ian Happ or a Dansby or a PCA. The Kyle Tucker effect is real, and I think largely because of that offense is real, and it's not something that I really worry about going away anytime soon. But there are things about this Cubs team that I do wonder, as again, they found a way to win yesterday in Cincinnati with big rallies in the seventh and the eighth, seven runs between the seventh and the eighth innings to come back from down 8-2 to win that game. And that's kind of how this season has gone. The Cubs have had to come back from tough losses the day before. The Cubs have had to come back from big leads that the other team has gotten early in games, and they keep finding ways to do it, and that's great, and I love it, and it's been very entertaining. But I do wonder how real is what we're seeing from PCA, especially from a power standpoint. I do wonder how long that bullpen can keep doing what they're doing with the injuries and guys blowing up in their face one after the other. And I do wonder how long that rotation can keep doing what it's doing as guys keep going down with injuries. They're one and two starters going down with injuries. But that offense, and that can carry you a long way, man. That can carry you a real long way. That offense is legit and real, and I don't think is going anywhere anytime soon. But I do wonder how are they this good, or are they that lucky when talking about the Cubs and a 32-21 start here to start the season through 50 plus games. 312-644-6767. Plenty of time to talk with you guys today on the phone lines, in the text line, however it is that you want to get in on the show, do so at 312-644-6767. We'll keep some Cubs talk going in the next segment and much more. Alex Cohen, Cubs play-by-play announcer, joins me at 11. It's Rami Makhlouf with you on Memorial Day right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
But yeah, I've been watching these guys ball for the start of the season, and to be a part of that and watch it in front of my eyes is really special and special to be a part of. But yeah, I can see where all the confidence is coming from, because, you know, if we still have outs to give, then we're not out of it. So that's pretty cool.
There is Reese McGuire, who came up yesterday and unexpectedly got the start and then hit two home runs, including one to tie the game in the eighth. And by the way, he was almost out of the Cubs organization as recently as I think a week or two ago that they had DFA'd him, I think was the technical term of what they did. And he had to accept an assignment and come back to the Cubs when he thought it could be over for him. And he comes up and hits those two home runs on a day when not only he got called up, but didn't think he'd be starting, and then ended up having to start. And I gave the stat, and you can get in on the show as I ask you, are the Cubs this good or that lucky as they just keep finding ways to win, including coming back from 8-2 against the Reds yesterday. Reese McGuire became only the third player in the modern era to hit two homers in his Cubs debut. He joined Jim Marshall, who did it in 1958, and Earl Webb in 1927. And I got a couple texts after I gave out that number, and it was the thought that popped into my head as well, which is, what about Carl Tuffy Rhodes and his three home run debut on opening day? And apparently that wasn't his debut. Apparently he was a rookie still technically that year, and one rookie of the year for the Cubs that year. But apparently that he had had a cup of coffee, or at least an appearance with the Cubs prior to that. This was in your major league debut that sets Reese McGuire apart from Tuffy Rhodes and puts him in the same class with Jim Marshall and Earl Webb. I didn't look it up, but that's what I assume was the snafu or the technicality that kept Tuffy Rhodes out of that. I was at that game, the Tuffy Rhodes three home run game, in the very last four seats. Me, my mom, my dad, and my brother, because my dad he procrastinates, and that's a trait I've inherited from him. At the last minute, was like, wouldn't it be nice to go to Cubs opening day? And so he bought tickets, and we were literally in the last four seats of the last row of the upper deck down the right field line, and I saw Tuffy Rhodes hit those three home runs, but apparently that was not his major league debut. Some of the other texts that came in at 312-644-6767 from the 309 says PCA needs to keep his quote-unquote short game. And I don't think he's going to lose. By short game, I think you mean using his speed to get on base and do all the damage he can with that speed to get on base and when he's on base. But Craig Counsell says it all the time. The home run is his favorite play in baseball, and there's good reason for that. This from the 262, and a very good point. Says, lucky, LOL, had the hardest schedule in baseball in April and come out of it above 500. Luck doesn't play a huge factor into everyday baseball. Luck plays a huge role in baseball, and especially in the postseason. In terms of, and when I say luck, I mean who's healthy, who's not, once October rolls around, who's hot, who's not, and everything else that goes into it. But the texter is right in the sense that luck only lasts so long. And we're 52 games in, including the hardest schedule in baseball to start the season in April, on top of the logistical challenges, not just the strength of the schedule and the teams that they face their opponents, but starting in Japan and coming back home and then back out to Arizona and back out west to see the Dodgers and the Padres. It was a lot of travel and a very herky-jerky schedule with the start in Tokyo. And to come out of that above 500 and then sustain that you do have to put some more coins in the it's real bank. You know what I mean? Versus this is luck bank. I think you do got to put a little bit more into that because of the start that they got off to and with the challenges of the schedule in terms of the way that it started. Let's get out to the phones at 312-644-6767. Let's go to Keller, who's in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, listening on the Odyssey app. Keller, you're on the score. What's up, man?
Hi there.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm only 29 years old, and I've been watching and listening to Cubs radio since about like 2015.
Okay.
It was that season that I started avidly listening, and I got to tell you, this team that we've got on the field right now is the most resilient team that I have seen. You said earlier that the Cubs are finding ways to win, and I kind of disagree with that verbiage. I think the Cubs are manufacturing ways to win, just by way of strategy mm-hmm. and by way of sheer offensive dominance. And it's nothing that I've ever seen before. Like we've got 25 plus four run innings. We've got like almost 12 or 13 games where they've scored 10 or more runs, and both of those stats lead the leagues. It's an incredible thing that I'm seeing on the field, and I just don't think it's an accident. This is the best team that I've seen the Cubs field in my lifetime.
Better than the World Series team? Because you said you started in 2015.
I know what I'm saying.
That's a bold statement, and I appreciate the call, and I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. Until I see this team win a World Series, I don't agree with you, but you might be right. And from an offensive standpoint, you may really, really be onto something. Because, and look, man, this is no secret. This is why the whole thing blowed up in their face. That offense had issues. That offense had some real issues, despite all the star power and just power that you brought to the lineup with Bryant and Rizzo and Baez and Schwarber and the rest of the gang. There were issues in terms of the makeup of that lineup and if it was something that could sustain long rallies. This is a more well-rounded lineup than what the Cubs had then, and definitely And I think this is part of the evolution of the game with baseball changing the rules and trying to get more action on the bases. Much speedier and better base running team than that Cubs 2016 team that won the World Series. I think that's part Craig Counsell, and also, like I said, I think that's also part just where the game is headed. And teams trying to use their legs a little bit more and get that extra base. That's a trend in baseball, and the Cubs are doing it as well as anyone. More on the Tuffy Rhodes situation. As I pointed out, that Reese McGuire became only the third player in the modern era to hit two homers in his Cubs debut, joining Jim Marshall and Earl Webb. I said Tuffy Rhodes won Rookie of the Year. He did not. I always got Tuffy Rhodes and Jerome Walton mixed up, and I'm still doing it now. Like 30 years later, I'm still doing it. So he did not win Rookie of the Year. That was Jerome Walton that I was thinking of. And like I said, that must not have been his Cubs debut, even though he was a rookie that year. This gets cleared up from the 6-3-0. A text here from the 6-3-0. Tuffy Rhodes had played for the Astros. The 3-home run game was his Cubs debut, not his major league debut. That's okay. Thank you from the 6-3-0 for clearing that up. And another one from the 6-3-0. Didn't Kosuke Fukudome hit two homers in his debut? From Adrian in Oceanside. I don't know, man. I'm just telling you the stat that I found, and I found it at many outlets. I found this at many, many outlets, so I'm assuming it's true that Reese McGuire became only the third player in the modern era to hit two homers in his Cubs debut, joining Jim Marshall and Earl Webb. I'm just going off what I read in a couple of different places from reputable sources that he was the first to do that. If that's wrong, I'm sorry, all right? But I'm pretty sure that is correct. And this from the 260. No one has texted, "I'd rather be lucky than good." Signed, a fan of the Sox. Neither lucky nor good. Fair. That is fair. And from the 847, two-thirds skill, one-third luck. Catching offense will cool off, too. Somebody texted in. Here it is right here. Cubs catchers have 15 homers and 50 RBIs so far this year. That's another thing that you got to wonder, especially with Miguel Amaya going down. We'll see how long he's down for. Look, nobody... Maybe you expected or hoped Miguel Amaya would take the next step. A guy who had... A lot of promise and buzz around him as he was coming up through the Cubs system, and maybe you were still thinking he could live up to that. Nobody expected Miguel Amaya and Carson Kelly, of all people, forget Reese McGuire, coming in and doing something that may or may not have only been done by two other people in history, in Cubs history. But those two guys, I do got to wonder if that's really legit, and if that's something that is sustainable and the Cubs could keep up. We'll talk more Cubs with Alex Cohen. Let me quick get in Frank, who's in North Carolina, and now he's on the Score. What's up, Frank?
Hey, how are you doing today? Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Hey, 2 points. One, I heard earlier somebody said on your station that the Cubs had a comfortable lead in the Central Division. They're only up on the Cardinals by 2 games, so I don't think that's comfortable.
Not as comfortable as you'd like it to be. No, you're right.
Yeah, you know, I understand. I'm a Brewers fan, by the way, and you guys got a much better team than we got this year. Anyway, the other thing is the Cubs have not played the Cardinals yet. You got 13 games coming up with the Cardinals, and I believe the first series of the Cardinals is June 24th. So, and the Cardinals are playing much better baseball. So you might... you might have more guys healthy by the time you play the Cardinals. I really don't care who wins the division because the Brewers are not going to. But you got the Cardinals to contend with, and they're your biggest rivals. So
I appreciate the call, and you're right, and they are just 2 games back. I don't, and maybe I shouldn't do this because every time you do this with the Cardinals, you eat those words later. I don't think they can sustain this. I think they're the team everybody thought they were coming into the season. That was a team that everybody expected to finish third at best in this division, maybe fourth. I don't think we're talking about whether the Cubs can keep this up. I don't think the Cardinals can keep this up. And man, if that's the team that derails or sidetracks or gets in the way of this Cubs season, That's going to really irritate me. That is not going to sit well with this guy right here, and probably with most of you out there listening to me right now. We'll hit a quick break. The Cubs talk continues with Cubs play-by-play man for Marquee Sports, Alex Cohen. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.